We were born into a promise. Maybe we didn't realize it at the time. Maybe nobody said it out loud. But it was there, in the background noise, in the commercials, in the way grown-ups answered when you asked about the future. Work hard, push through, hustle harder than the next guy. The dream was simple. If you sacrifice now, you'll own your life later. If you grind long enough, you'll build something nobody can take away. We bought that dream with everything we had. We wore it like a badge. The early mornings, the late nights, the skipped birthdays and missed sunsets. We weren't just working jobs, we were building futures. Or so we thought. Because somewhere between the overtime hours and the motivational posters, that dream started mutating. It wasn't freedom we were chasing anymore. It was survival. It wasn't ownership. It was obedience dressed up like ambition. Nobody tells you at the start that the grind never ends, that it's not a season, that it's not a stepping stone. It becomes the house you live in, the rhythm your body can't unlearn. You start measuring your worth in output, your value in how exhausted you feel at the end of the day. Productivity becomes morality. Busyness becomes virtue. And suddenly, rest feels like guilt. Slowness feels like failure. Pausing feels like disappearing. We didn't just buy into hard work. We bought into grind worship, into the idea that struggle was holy, that sleep was for the weak, that whoever suffered the most must surely deserve the most at the end. And that's the quiet lie nobody talks about, the myth beneath the myth, the idea that pain guarantees payoff, that suffering has a scoreboard, that somewhere, somehow, all this will be worth it, because we earned it the hard way. And maybe, at first, it was easier to believe that, because the alternative, that the system could take everything we gave and still leave us with nothing, was too terrifying to look at. So we stayed locked in. Double shifts, side hustles, personal brands built at midnight, emails answered at red lights, dreams postponed just until next year. Life became a waiting room we never stepped out of. Grinding, always grinding. Just one more contract, just one more launch, just one more 5 a.m. wake up. The payoff always around the corner, always out of reach. But the thing about grinding is that it wears you down. Not just your body, not just your spirit. It wears down your dreams too, slowly, quietly, until you can't remember why you started anymore. Until you're moving because movement is the only thing you know. Until the finish line gets replaced with another starting gun. Until you look up and realize the freedom you were chasing was replaced by routines you can't escape. And when you do stop, when you finally pause long enough to ask, why am I still running? The silence feels brutal. Because now you have to face the truth. Maybe the dream wasn't just delayed. Maybe it was stolen. Maybe it was never offered honestly to begin with. Maybe it was dangled in front of us because tired people don't rebel. Tired people don't build revolutions. They clock in. They show up. They keep moving. They dream just enough to stay hungry, but not enough to step outside the race. That's the trick. Keep the dream shiny. Keep the grind noble. Keep the hope just barely alive. You won't even realize the cage you're running in is invisible, and the key's been in your pocket the whole time. The most dangerous part of the grind wasn't the exhaustion. It was what we gave up without realizing it. Birthdays we missed, meals we rushed, joy we postponed, creativity we silenced because it wasn't productive. Friendships that faded, not from conflict, but from being put on the back burner one too many times. Rest we denied ourselves, as if peace had to be earned through fatigue. We gave up presence. We gave up softness. We gave up wonder, because the grind doesn't have room for any of that. The grind doesn't reward curiosity. It rewards output. It rewards sacrifice. It rewards the ability to keep showing up, even when your soul's running on fumes. And so we learned how to compartmentalize, to store grief in the corner of our minds until after the next deadline, to delay healing because bills are due, to shrink our needs into bite-sized breaks that wouldn't interfere with the hustle. And for a while, that worked. Or at least it looked like it did, until the crash came. And it always comes. Sometimes it looks like burnout. Sometimes it looks like your body betraying you after years of no sleep. Sometimes it looks like hitting a milestone and realizing you feel nothing. that the promotion didn't fix your self-worth, that the applause didn't heal the emptiness, that success doesn't taste sweet when you lost your joy somewhere along the way. But maybe the worst crash is when you realize you don't even know how to stop, that slowing down gives you anxiety, that silence makes you itchy, that sitting still feels like failure, not freedom. That's when the grind has done its real damage. It hasn't just drained your time, it's rewired your identity. You don't know who you are outside of striving, outside of the next goal, outside of constantly proving yourself. And that's the part nobody warned us about. They told us to chase our dreams. They didn't tell us the dream would start chasing us back, that it would become this thing we're constantly serving instead of living, that it would take and take and take, and we'd keep giving because that's what we were taught strong people do. But somewhere in the middle of all that noise, something shifts. You start to see it, the lie, the trap, the cycle. You start asking different questions, not what's next, but what for? Not how do I get ahead, but who am I becoming in the process? And those questions don't sound ambitious. They sound like rebellion, because in a grind culture, anything that isn't about progress sounds like laziness, but it's not. It's liberation, because once you see the lie, you can't unsee it. You start noticing how much of your hustle wasn't for you. It was for validation, for approval, for a seat at a table you didn't even like. You realize your value doesn't increase with your productivity. You realize you don't have to perform exhaustion to earn respect. You realize that maybe success isn't about stacking achievements. It's about living in a way that doesn't cost you your soul. And that's the turn, the part where you begin to crawl out of it, slowly, not by quitting your job or burning everything down, but by reclaiming your time, reclaiming your rest, reclaiming the voice in your head that says enough, by finding moments of stillness and letting them count, by measuring your worth in ways the system can't track, by dreaming new dreams, ones that don't demand your burnout as payment. You start realizing that freedom isn't some far-off finish line. It's in the moment you stop measuring your life in output. It's in the breath you take before saying yes. It's in the hour you give yourself without guilt. It's in the friendship you show up for, even when it doesn't scale. That's the part they don't teach in the hustle culture playbook. You were already enough before the grind began, and now you're allowed to leave. This is The Undercurrent, a story beneath the surface from The Truth Project, powered by M3 Media Studio.